So today is July 24th, 12:20 p.m., and this is an update on what's been going on with Persis and I. And it has been now a solid 14 days that she has been, it's been exactly 2 weeks. It's funny, today's the 14th day. I thought the other day, I wondered if something would happen on the 14th day. And in fact, something has happened on the 14th day. So she has been basically staying in her room the whole time. This is kind of how she did when she lived in India, when she was going through her struggles with her ex and her family was there. She would stay in her room a lot and just pray and fast and read the word and all that. So she's been doing this for a very long time. Basically only coming out to get food, water, and coffee or tea. That's it. I don't think she's even been outside. I think she took her shoes that were next to the door and she took them inside the house because she wasn't planning on going outside. So granted, it's very hot, but I have been so disappointed for her, and I've been praying every day, God help her, and she seems to be doing okay. But in the last few days, I would say in the last 5 days or so, something seems to have happened, and she's gotten even shorter with me in her replies, and not at all mean in any way, just much shorter. And so I just figured, okay, well, I guess things are getting worse for her. And meanwhile, this is all, you know, me waiting to find out, is she actually gonna leave me and go back to India? That's what this whole thing is about, is that I got really frustrated and told her that I felt she was basically abandoning her husband, and she has showed dishonor towards me in quite a few ways, indirectly. She's not tried to bring disrespect and dishonor. She's just doing it in a few ways that I've already journaled, and I have been just waiting, like, okay, Lord, I'm just waiting. And meanwhile, I've been just working so hard, and God's been giving me grace to work, and she just, nothing was getting better. I mean, there's times I'm just like wanting to go in there and go, come on, what are you doing in here? Why are you staying in here? You know, you don't have to stay in this room all day. I've made sure she knew that I wasn't so mad at her that she couldn't have run of the house, and I don't hate her. I'm really disappointed in the fact that she's such a kind soul, and I love her so much as my wife, and God's done these amazing things in our marriage to put us together, but then she's been so confused and, I guess, afraid about the ministry and our relationship. I don't know. And then this whole thing with her having to go to India in order to be a Christian. So anyhow, that's all been, I've been just sitting, waiting, letting her kind of process all this stuff, waiting to see what was going to happen. And I just walked into the kitchen. She walked past me while I was putting the shoes on in the living room, which she normally doesn't. Normally she goes out of her way to walk around the other room to not have to walk through the living room that I'm in. I went into the kitchen to get some water, and she basically tackled me with a hug. And she just came right over, grabbed me, and I hugged her back. I had a real hard time the first 10 days that we went through this the other time, where we were in such a disagreement about, you know, my ministry and her claiming that I was doing this to honor myself. And I'm just like, where in the world is this coming from? I had such a difficult time. I couldn't allow her to start kissing on me and all that. I didn't have it in me. I had just kind of just not give her anything back. This time I was at least able to hug her, but I felt very neutral. And she just held me and held me and held me. I rubbed her back and held her, and just to assure her that, you know, I don't hate her. I love her. And I didn't say hardly anything except for to say to her that, are you doing okay? And she kind of shook her head just a little bit. And she doesn't look good at all. She looks really, like, depressed. And these last couple of, like I say, probably the last 5 or 6 days, she looks more like she's got like depression on her. And maybe she, that's why she's been staying in her room. And on the contrary, I'm doing actually really well. I've had my few days of grieving about it in the beginning, and I'm not happy about her being in there like that, but God has just been keeping me, and I've been working so hard. I've been praising the Lord every day with the testimonies that come in, and so God's been keeping me. And it's funny how she has been getting weaker, as just as 2 Samuel 3:1, I seem to think that the Lord was telling me that, you know, as this battle goes on, the house of David gets stronger and stronger, the house of Saul gets weaker and weaker. And so anyhow, she's come over and giving me this big hug, and I'm holding on to her and rubbing her back and all that. And I don't feel that like, oh, you know, baby, come here, kissy, kissy. No, I don't feel that at all. This is me just doing this purely for her so that she can know that she's okay and her husband still loves her and wants good for her. But I don't feel any of that, you know, lovey-dovey stuff. And she started to do her kissies on my face and on her neck and all that stuff. And I kind of just finally tucked back in closer, and I said, look, I said, if you ever decide you want to talk and kind of let me know, you know, what's going on, I'd really appreciate it. I said, I'm having a hard time connecting to you physically until I know what's going on in your heart. And that's a real big difference between Persis and I also, that she's able to do the reconnecting thing through affection and I'm not. For me, it has to be right in the heart first, before I can start doing the kissy kissy huggy huggy stuff. So I have to have that communication with her. So I just left it at that, and I said, okay, well, I'm gonna go on my work. I don't know what she was hoping or expecting, but she literally did not say a single word in probably what was a 10-minute hug. And I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna just let her have it. If she wants to hug me like this, I'm just going to hold her. And as long as she wants to hold on to me, I'm just going to let her and not say anything, just to be there for her. So in a way, it was really just, it was beautiful. And I was just praying, Lord, just give me the grace to do this. And I didn't want her to feel like I was rejecting her by not giving her kisses and all that stuff. I wanted her to receive what I was giving her, but also to, in some way, help her to see that I can't go really beyond this until I know, like, what's going on. I don't have any idea what's going on with my wife's heart. I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. I mean, I basically have seen her pass every once in a while, like every other couple of days. Other than that, I literally have not seen her. It's like I've been in another world from her. So that was really weird to not know, you know, what your wife is thinking at all. And the last conversation you had is, I have to go back to India. I think God's called me back to India. I just can't be a Christian in America. I want to go back and live among the poor and all this stuff. And, you know, I understand. I think I understand a little bit more about why she would feel that way. It's not the right way of thinking, because if that were the case, God would be telling me too. But I can totally understand why she would feel that way. I mean, I felt that exact same way when I came back from India the first time to America. I got depressed because of all this fatness that people have. But there are people here who want to know the truth. So, anyhow, this whole thing, I don't see this as any kind of a big, giant miracle, but I have been praying every day, God, move on her heart. God, break her heart. If she repented, if she said, Michael, I have talked about it with the Father, and I have prayed, and I am not going to go back to India. There's a part of me that very much would like to go, and there's a part of me that would be miserable staying here. But Michael, I am sorry. I have indeed rebelled against you in my heart because of my fear. I've been afraid of the ministry taking you away. I've been afraid of you honoring yourself. I've been afraid of you being turned into a celebrity and losing your spiritual strength and relationship with the Lord and with me. And all this fear came in, and the devil got the better hold of me, and the things that I'm feeling are good, but they were overdone and they were taken to an extreme, and I want to repent. I've gone out of my way to try to hold you back by not ever saying anything good about what God's doing through you, by not ever acknowledging that the Lord indeed by the Holy Spirit speaks through your videos and messages, or that he's bearing fruit. I've gone out of my way to discount those things because of my own fear. My own fear is that if I validate you, that could be the last switch before the rocket launches and I never see you again. That could launch you off into, you know, me losing you forever if I do that. And so I'm sorry. I haven't been trusting God, and I was just scared. If I heard something like that come from my wife, then I would know we've seen a miracle of God. And I would know this is genuine repentance. And I would have the quickest reconciliation to her. This is what's so amazing about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Even after all that she's done, that I've made list of on my little notes to show her back in the time when we had this conversation, even after all the things that she did that's hurt me, if she came and repented and said that, every single one of those things would be gone so quick it would make your head spin. There'd be nothing left. I wouldn't even remember the list. I can't even remember all the details right now, thank God. But that's how quick and willing I am to reconcile. I mean, the truth is, there was a long time when I would have done this with my ex-wife. But, you know, God had other plans, and I saw that. But that's what I am so thankful for in this, is that no matter what, I have this heart that is willing and desirous to reconcile to my wife and have the love of Christ in my heart. Not even entirely on my terms, like, okay, like everything has to be just perfect and all that, but I definitely do need my wife, especially in this ministry, to submit to my headship and be willing to follow me, knowing that what God tells me to do, maybe He doesn't always tell her that, and maybe she won't always understand it, but that she can trust by seeing the fruit, which she lives with me. She knows exactly how I behave. She knows that I practice what I preach. So, anyhow, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all goes out. I don't know if this was just something that she desperately needed to keep her own self from going off the cliff, or I don't know if this was a goodbye hug, if she was, you know, telling me goodbye, like, and then she's got plans to pack up and go to India. I don't know. So again, I have to just in faith, just wait and trust and watch God act in my behalf, and I just thank Him for the peace, no doubt about it. It's not that I don't care about my wife. I love her to death. I mean, I would step in a bus for her in a heartbeat. But she's getting in the way and being used of the devil, who's taken her captive through her fear, to try to stand against the ministry. God's been pleased to allow it, but it's got to be a temporary thing. So may God bless us both, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. It's July 25th, 2017, 8:49 tonight. I've been working all day, just stopping. And my mom called me tonight, and several days ago, they had been asking, you know, what's going on with you guys? We're not seeing persons, not seeing you. And I didn't want to lie to them, but I didn't want to give them any information. I said, look, this is personal and private between persons and I. I said, but Persis is struggling with, you know, being in America, and has a hard time trusting and so forth and so on. And I said, but don't get involved in this. God has it all. He's already talked to me about it. So naturally, my mom cannot help herself. Tonight, she's telling me she's been thinking about it for days. And I just, you know, I see these biblical principles where it says that a woman should submit to her husband, and she's pointing out that, you know, a person's supposed to work and she's not doing any of that. She's just sitting around and all this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it can't be hidden from my mom. She knows. She knows what's going on. We live in their house. So she sees what's going on and knows that what's happening. So she just wanted to talk about this for like about 15 minutes. And then I finally explained to her, look, it's easy to pick out a biblical principle and identify what's right and wrong. It's not easy to get somebody else to see it. And that doesn't mean that just because you can see it means they will, or that you're even supposed to do anything about it. On the contrary, an even more important biblical principle is waiting on God and allowing Him to act in our behalf. And so I shared that. And then the main point I wanted to capture is how the devil can use something like that
to try to get you to think, oh yeah, I guess you're right. My mom's wanting to confront it. My mom's like, you know, she needs a sister. She needs a spiritual mother or a spiritual friend. She doesn't have anybody. And this is what we're supposed to do for each other. All right. It's all correct. But it's not in accordance with God's personal plan for our life right now. God is, and I tried to explain, Mom, God is using this in such a good way for me. But it's not just about you, it's about her. Hello, it couldn't be that I'm benefiting if it wasn't happening to her. She gets like pieces of the puzzle, she doesn't get the whole thing. And so I'm just like, okay, let me show you, let me help you take all those principles and wrap them in this bag called, I'm not going to do anything that God doesn't tell me not to do. I'm doing it in accordance with His timing, in accordance with His will. If He tells me to wait, I wait, and that's what He's telling me to do. This is such a carnal level thinking. It helps me remember how I used to think. You identify the principle and you immediately act on it. And yeah, when you cannot hear God's speaking voice and you're not walking in obedience to His will, His personal will for your life, yeah, you pick something and you obey it. But when you get to a level in your relationship where Father speaks to you and guides you and says to you, Paul, I know you want to go to Asia. I don't want you to go. I know I told you to go into all the world. Don't go to Asia. The Spirit of Christ stops you. When you have that kind of a relationship with God, you don't say, no, Lord, it says Matthew 28:19, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And that's one of the nations that's in the world. You don't do that. So anyhow, the temptation comes to move. You can feel the, well, yeah, I mean, it does say that in the Bible, and you want to, makes you tempted if you're not strong to want to move. Like, for example, if this happened 3 years ago, I'd be having some doubts right now going, wow, she's right, and maybe I should let my mom try to talk to her, and maybe that would be good. And you can feel the temptations. No way. No way. In a very carnal level, my poor mom wants to be a savior. I can understand how my own wife could accuse me of that sometimes, but that's what my mom definitely wants to be, and wants to be needed and used, and she sees this as some glorious opportunity to get involved and win over the heart of the daughter she's always wanted. And Persis has definitely not been that, because she's so kind of isolated and so independent. So this is a late-at-night message for me. I'm getting ready to go to bed, but I'm being tempted to try to move ahead, and I will not. I will wait for God to act in my behalf, no matter how right it sounds, no matter how much I'm... Because what happens is, I find myself getting off that phone with my mom and saying to myself, wanting to send off an email to Persis and go, so what exactly are you doing? Staying in your room for 2 weeks straight. You're not doing anything around the house except for making a couple of meals, which is pretty typical, unfortunately, so far. And what are you doing? Are you coming or are you going? Are you going to Indy or are you staying here? What are you doing? Are we going to do life together? Are you going to snap out of this? It'd be so easy for me to justify doing something like that. I'm not going to do it. With God's help, I'm going to wait. It's 4:40 on July 27th, 2017. This is a My Faith is Being Tested message. I just got in the car and I started to chuckle before the Lord. And I said, Lord, when I see my wife like this for this long, over 2 weeks, and we just passed each other in the living room and she stepped aside and we barely even have eye contact with one another, and she's just kind of completely isolating herself still. I said, Lord, I just, part of me wants to say, look, you're so miserable. Just please go back to India. I have these moments like this where I've been doing so great for the last few days, just working so hard, but it's very oppressive having the one that you love so much living in your house, not doing anything, literally living in your bedroom like a prison, not coming out. 2 times now she's come to me. She did the day before yesterday. She came to me and gave me this. She just grabs me in the kitchen and just gives me this big old hug and holds on. I hug her back, but there's not that connection.
It's not there. I cannot connect to her physically until we connect at the heart level. And that's the way it should be for all true Christ followers, in my opinion. I think the Lord has helped me to see this is one of the reasons why He requires us to confess our sins to one another and to confess our sins to Him. You know, if you have sinned against God and then you try to hide it and just try to move on, like sweep it under the rug and do your little relationship with God thing and keep going to church and go to your Bible studies and keep watching preaching sermons about Him and maybe even praying to Him. But you don't confess the sin that you had, you're going to have a break in the intimacy with God. You're going to feel the separation. God feels it. I feel it with my wife. I haven't been able to be with my wife in weeks now, and for her to come up and just give me this hug, you would think I would be starving, like, oh yes, let me just hold on to you, sweetheart. And not at all. I'm in it totally 100% for her, not for me. There's no feeling in it for me whatsoever because there's no connection at the heart. I have the external part of her, not the internal part of her. God does not want the external part of us, all of our words, all of our deeds, all of our worship, all of our actions, all of our church attendance, all of our honoring Him, all the things we do external, doing projects for Him, writing things about Him. And yet, if He does not have submission and loyalty in our heart, honesty in our heart, all the stuff that we do external counts for nothing. So anything my wife is doing right now, the couple of meals that she's making a day and I get to eat of, or if she makes tea, or these times where she's coming to me and wanting to hug on me, they mean nothing to me because at the heart level, she has not confessed that she's sinning against me by not submitting to me. A godly man who hasn't asked her to do anything ungodly. And I see the way she's acting now and I'm going, wow, I'm seeing a side of her that I never, ever dreamed I would see. The Lord has been pleased to allow the devil to put her in bondage. I never would have expected Persis to act like this. Where she's acting like a very spoiled, rotten little kid. Even if I was doing evil things, she should be submitting to me more and treating me better than she is, instead of locking herself in the room like a prison. It's really, really difficult. But God's given me grace, but I have these moments. So now that I've gotten it out, I'll be fine. But I have these moments where in my flesh, I want to walk up to her and say, please, it's going to be less hurtful for me and less hurtful for you in the end if you just go ahead and pack your bags, go back to India where you're happy. I don't want that. But I don't. What I have right now is dead. I mean, I see the unbelievable patience of Father, how long He's willing to wait for us when we have been disobedient, when we've gone like Jonah and ran astray, when we don't submit to Him. I now am seeing more and more how what it felt like for God to have to be patient for the Israelites. Well, they're just out running, doing their thing, and then they're doing all these stupid, ridiculous external worship things, and He's like, look, I desire obedience, not sacrifice. In other words, from your heart, love me, obey me, and submit to me. It's the same thing I'm seeing with my wife. I don't desire her cleaning the house, making up meals, making me tea, anything like that. That would be sacrifice. I don't desire any of that. That stuff is doing nothing for me. What I'm wanting is for her to humble herself in her heart. And you know something? God never made the Israelites humble themselves before Him. He disciplined them. He told them they're doing wrong. He sent prophets to tell them they're doing wrong, but He never forced them into obeying and submitting to Him. He let them go. Now, they suffered consequences. But if God's not willing to make you submit, how much less should I as a husband try to make my wife submit? I can't do it. And even if I did, who wants forced submission? So really what I'm believing is God is testing my faith. God is breaking my wife. She needs to grow up in a few ways that I was not able to see. This is really immature, the type of behavior that she's showing. Very, very just immature. And I believe that God is going to do something miraculous. I am believing that it will be to me according to my faith, that He is going to do something awesome to turn this around. And man, it's going to be hard. It'll be something that's not easy, but with God, all things are possible. July 27th, 2017, 6:54. I'm on my way to the river to go have another walk, prayer walk. I was laying on the couch, I got a little tired. I was listening to Genesis and got to Genesis 19:26. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And as I heard that, it's like I jumped up in my heart, and I thought, my God, that is exactly what is happening to my wife. It's like I would have never thought about this, and it just all of a sudden hit me. So I sent her a text and said, I thought of you immediately when I just read this passage. We saw God do miracle after miracle, victory after victory, to get me to India, to get me and her married in India, to then get us a visa in India, and then to get us out of India. The story alone is just packed full of God's supernatural leading. It couldn't have been done without it. And now she is despising everything God has done. And I think God's punishing her. I think God is allowing her to almost turn into a spiritual pillar of salt. That's what I told her. It's like, you have now been, she has now been inside of our room, which I've been, I'm out of it. I haven't been in my own room in 2.5 weeks. She has been in that room every single day. I don't think she has stepped the first foot outside in over, now it's 2.5 weeks, I think. And it's like she doesn't even exist. And when I saw her today, she just looks miserable. She looks like she's depressed. And I think to myself, there has to be some spiritual principle where it's literally like God did all these things to get her here. And now she's looking back, just like Lot's wife. She's looking back to India. I mean, I have openly said that India is where Satan has his home. So in God's eyes, even though her family's there, and even though somebody like Zach Poonen's there, God brought her out of that place. And now she's looking back, and she's looking down on America. Yes, America's got tons of problems, but America has far more true Christians than India does. I have no doubt in my mind about that. And especially when you look at the average number of people, let's just say the far greater percentage of the people here would be true Christians than there would be percentage in India, because, you know, India has so many people, that's not even a fair comparison. But she's looking back. I mean, I'm just like, wow. And it's like I've been watching her go down and down and down, and it's literally like she's almost becoming a pillar of salt. The good news is, I believe that if she repents, spiritually speaking, she can be turned back. I look at the pictures on our wall, and that woman's like not even in the house anymore. I started thinking about how slowly she started to despise things, and how she used to be so excited in the beginning, and now she's just not. She's despising, and you cannot despise God's blessings and get away with it. God says he will not be mocked. So, you know, I haven't really even thought about it, but I think I've prayed one time that God would, you know, break her. I think I started praying today that God would just break her. Let her be completely broken and miserable, and punish her for being disobedient like this, so that she can repent and get back into life. But she is becoming like a salt parched land. It's unbelievable. She's despising the gift that God's given her, the gift of teaching and wisdom. She wanted to take all her videos off. She didn't want to have anything to do with the ministry. This woman has despised every single thing God has done for her. She despises her husband. She dishonors me. She despises America. She despises the ministry. She despises all the miracles and the provision that God provided to get her with me and to get her here. She despises fellowship that God wants to give us. She despises the book her husband wrote. She despises the blessings in the ministry. I mean, she despises everything. She's, at this point, she is absolutely good for nothing. Now, I'm trusting God. I'm not saying that she's good for nothing permanently. But right now, my wife is good for nothing. She's despising all that God has done. And I actually am thinking to myself, I'm glad God showed me that scripture. And perhaps, maybe he's shown it to her, or he will show it to her, or confirm, or give her a dream or something to wake her up out of this. I see the angels, you know, screaming, "Don't look back! Don't look back!" And I've tried to warn her. I've tried to warn her so many times. Don't despise the Lord's blessing. I mean, it's like she's telling God she was better off in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, India is not far from Sodom and Gomorrah. At least here, there's law and order. And, you know, in India, you have temples to false gods everywhere. You have spiritual ignorance here. You have delight in the table of demons all over India. And every man burns with lust in his heart for women. They do things over there to some of these women and stalking them. And if they can't get them, sometimes they murder them. That happens all the time. It happened several times while I was there. If the guy can't get the girl, he just kills her. So I think to myself, Persis has been deceived. And her looking back to India is like looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. She wants to make it sound like America is the big bad one because we came up with pornography and all that stuff. Who came up with the Kama Sutra? Who has a gigantic temple that's dedicated to a sex god? Who has the whole national history of false gods that have sex with other gods? And so therefore you can too. She forgets the unbelievable paganism that's in India. So, without a doubt, there's pieces of that in America, but not everybody is like that in America. I can just see that she absolutely despises America. And I know America, for what it should be, is a disaster. For what it could be, it's a disaster. For what people think it is, it's a disaster. But there are still good people here that are not doing evil. And I think that's probably why God has spared America still at this point. Like him looking down at Sodom and saying, if I can find one good righteous person. I mean, when I look at India, India is a land of absolute curse. The land is cursed. I mean, it's exactly like the desert of Israel. It's worse than that. Thorn bushes and thistles and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't know God's heart on all these things. But it clearly looks like my wife is. And I hope God allows to happen to her whatever he needs to allow to happen to her. I'm going to be like Tozer and start praying for God. For there to be many are the slain of the Lord. To turn her over to the devil so she can be taught a lesson. And her soul saved. I don't want her to be comfortable. I want her to see that she's wrong and I can't do anything to help her. My goodness gracious, I wonder how many people would give anything to be a part of what God's doing in my life, and my own wife absolutely despises it. That just, it breaks my heart. It makes me mad to see my wife despising our Father's goodness like this. It's just crazy. So I'm going to go pray and spend some time just talking to the Lord about it. And yeah, this is a really, really bizarre thing. This afternoon, this evening's been kind of hard for me thinking about all this. I'm sad for my wife. And, yeah, may God help her. Well, it's now 7:20. I'm out walking, and I have been prayed to ask God to remove this mountain of lies and fear and whatever devils are taunting my wife, to move them out. I have prayed to cast out all devils that are in her room, that are in her mind, that are messing with her heart. I've asked God to clean them out. I said, Lord God, if your word says, have faith in God, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will be done, it will be done for him. I said, Lord, if you can do it for a mountain, how much more can you do it for a pillar of salt? And I just began to be filled with faith to pray that God would allow his water of the Holy Spirit to dilute this salt that's growing in her heart, and to throw this pillar into the sea. And I just prayed, and I just, God, cast out all the devils out of her room, cast out the fear, the contempt, the doubt, the lies, all of that stuff. Just get it out in Jesus' name. And I'm having such strong faith. I believe God is really going to answer this prayer. I mean, I just was filled with faith. So I'm going to watch and wait and see what my Lord is going to do. I believe in my heart he's already doing it. Praise God. Praise God. Persis, my love, it's July 27th, 2017, 7:26. I've already said to you in a long recording about a week ago all of my concerns, and I've stated to you how I felt you've sinned against me. I think I've made pretty much all those things clear. I have been praying for you every single day. I've just tonight prayed the strongest faith-filled prayer for you that I could possibly do. I totally believe God has allowed all of this to happen, but that does not mean that what is happening is a good thing or that it should continue. And I see how Father has taught me already so many things about the body of Christ as the bride of Christ. I've learned a great number of things about how Father feels about having a wife who lives in fear, and because of her fear, she's not willing to trust her husband. And since she doesn't trust him, she won't submit to him. She honors him externally because, after all, she's a married woman. She kind of has to. She wears the ring when she goes out in public. She gives kisses and hugs and affection, and she makes meals, and she does all those things that would be becoming of two people that are supposed to be married. She honors him with her lips, but her heart is far from her. I've learned so much in the last 2 weeks about how our Father thinks about the church, his bride, and how much damage and hurt we do to Jesus Christ when, out of our own fear, we refuse to submit to him and allow him to be our head because we think we know better, or because our own corrupt imagination tells us we must do something else. Persis, as hard as it is to hear, sweetheart, this is exactly what has been happening with you. You have allowed fear. I don't know what the fear is. That's between you and God. But you have allowed fear to blind you from the truth. You're a godly woman. You have so much to offer as a wife. You have so much to offer in the body of Christ. And God has so much reasons to delight in you. But you have allowed fear, and there has been many devils that have played their hand in your life to lock you up and prevent you from being able to walk in the joy of the Lord. And you have, out of that fear, you have begun to despise. This is exactly what the devil would want to do, is to get you to a place where you despise. You not only don't appreciate what God has done for you through me, through getting you here to America, through the visa process, the ministry, me as your husband, all the things I've wanted to do for you and have done for you. The devil's not only been able to get you to a place where you can't appreciate that, he's gotten you to a place now where you actually despise it and you believe that it's evil. He's been able to put you in that woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. You have reversed all that's been a blessing in your life, you now call a cursing. You have been pushed to an extreme, and you've been lied to. You're looking back. You're no different than the Israelites having been taken out of Egypt. And they despise the goodness of God in the wilderness period. And so they turn and say, we need to go back. You can't even see it. But wanting to go back to India after all that God has done for you, parting the Red Sea, giving you manna from heaven, miracle after miracle, water out of a rock, parting the Jordan River, you saw it with your own eyes. You're acting exactly like the Israelites in unbelief and wanting to turn back. And God says you're showing contempt for him. But it's not too late. You can turn from this. I have prayed and I believe that God is going to absolutely set you free from this. It's been terribly painful for me to watch this happen to you. And just like Lot's wife, looking back, you have started to turn into a pillar of salt. Just as I said earlier, you're looking back. You're going backwards. Even God sent me to another scripture where he shows about how instead of going forward, the people went backwards. You're wanting to go backwards out of your fear. The devil has lied to you and convinced you that you've made a mistake stepping into faith and walking with your husband. It's my prayer that God will discipline you and open your eyes to see. Clearly, you can't see it from me. You've been spiritually blinded. You have so much to offer God, and yet right now you're completely worthless to anything advancing the kingdom of God-wise, because you've been taken captive by fear. And as it says, the only way you can become a daughter of Sarah is to submit to your husband. And then to submit to your husband, you have to trust God. And you have to trust God with your husband. And you have to trust your husband, and you don't, because you have fear. And the only way for you to be a daughter of Sarah is for you to be like her in humble submission before your husband and to not give in to fear. That's what the Bible says will make you a daughter of Sarah. I pray in Jesus' name God helps you to see this and can turn this whole thing around. I want you to know I love you and I forgive you, but I'm not going to ignore or to pretend like what you're doing is not a sin against God and against me, because right now you're sinning big time against your husband and against your God, both of whom love you very much. And you're kicking dirt in both of our faces. You think you're pleasing God, and sister, you are not. You are despising every good thing he's done for you. And I pray in Jesus' name that he brings you to a place of brokenness and humility where you can see it and you can repent from it. And I tell you the truth, you know both of us will be standing right there with open arms to welcome you back into our fold. I can't have you honoring me with your external affection when your heart is far from me, and neither will God. Neither will God. God bless you, my love.